This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. 48 Roman Catholic Democratic members of Congress have sent a letter to the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., this according to a story in the New York Times today. They're protesting the latest development in the relationship between their church and their jobs, denying communion to politicians. Some bishops, though not many, have said that they would deny the sacrament to a Catholic politician who supports legalized abortion. Day to Day's Mike Pesca reports on the church rules that would justify this sanction.
At the funeral of New York's John Cardinal O'Connor 4 years ago, Boston's Bernard Cardinal Law delivered a homily which said, "No one proclaimed what Pope John Paul II called the gospel of life with greater effectiveness than Cardinal O'Connor." Soon, the invitation-only crowd erupted in applause, sweeping up all the many politicians in attendance, Republican and Democrat alike. Yet each of those politicians had supported policies which contradicted the Pope. The Bushes, father and son, are pro-death penalty and favor legalized abortion in the cases of rape and incest, as does New York Governor George Pataki. Al Gore and Bill and Hillary Clinton stood and applauded, though they believe abortion should be legal. Yet today, in 2004, certain U.S. bishops will deny communion to a politician who favors abortion rights, but not one who favors the death penalty. This is an accurate reflection of the letter of church law, according to Cardinal Brian Firm, professor of canon law at Catholic University in Washington, D.C.
There is a fundamental moral difference there between abortion, which is absolutely a moral evil in the eyes of the church, and clearly so, and has clearly been taught as such, and something like capital punishment, where you might not yet be able to absolutely state that it's objectively, in every situation, a moral evil, though you might at the same time be able to state that it would be very difficult to have the circumstances that would permit capital punishment to take place.
For instance, there is the case of Frank Keating, former governor of Oklahoma and a Catholic. Keating presided over more executions than any governor in Oklahoma's history, executions to which local bishops and the Pope strongly objected. Keating said he disagreed with the Pope's opinion, and church law backed him up. The Pope's opposition to the death penalty was his opinion, as Monsignor Firm explains.
He may be going against what, in fact, the Pope has requested, in the sense of asking that the execution be stayed, but I don't think you could claim officially or formally that he's gone against formal Catholic teaching as yet.
The process of denying communion rests in Canon Law 915, which lists groups not allowed to receive communion. One such example is the excommunicated. Another is those individuals who, quote, obstinately persist in manifest grave sin. The stance favoring legalized abortion can be judged by a bishop as persisting in manifest grave sin. But at times, bishops have defined grave sin so widely that no elected official in the United States wouldn't be in violation. For instance, in 1987, bishops in Argentina denied the sacrament of communion to politicians who favored legalized divorce. Paul Bauman, the editor of Commonweal, a liberal Catholic magazine, says abortion certainly is a grave sin, but he thinks bishops acting punitively won't stop many abortions.
There are plenty of Catholics who feel that abortion is a terrible problem and that it's important for the church to persuade people that this practice should change, and that for the bishops to act like this is not going to help that. It's going to hurt it.
Much of Bauman's argument is based on the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas, who said that enforcing laws which are opposed by the majority of citizens is fruitless and can go so far as to weaken the public's respect for civil law in general. Even though only a few bishops have gone this far, the ripple effects may damage politicians who favor legal abortion, for instance, John Kerry. In 1960, when John F. Kennedy was trying to become the first Catholic president, he had to convince Americans that he would be able to separate religion and politics. In order to become president in 2004, the current JFK must overcome the feeling among some voters that on the abortion issue, he separated religion and politics too much. For Day to Day, I'm Mike Pesca.